Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the 5E Filibuster.
Everybody, welcome back from Thanksgiving. I hope you and yours had a joyous time around the feasting table, which makes it sound like a Viking, kind of like a Viking Thanksgiving, but because they had feasts, right? Vikings had feasts, halls, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was their thing.
That was their thing. You know,
they didn't do anything in moderation.
No, that's true. They were all out, so you gotta respect those guys. But anyway, we're here with our first Friday filibuster since Thanksgiving. So. Welcome to Eric Ashersliger. Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Mike Rubino.
Hello.
And Mac McIntyre.
Hi there.
All right. So now, before we get rolling with this episode, we got to tease a little something coming up. And when you think of the holidays, Christmas, the Yule time, you think of what? Holiday cheer, giving, family, friends. Well, at the Friday filibuster, we think of how we long. That's right. A very firestorm Christmas is coming your way. So within a couple weeks, gentlemen, right? Well, is that good enough heads up time? Does that qualify as a tease?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Sometime before Christmas.
Yeah, sometime before Christmas. So
I think you could actually make a case that you could tie how long to Christmas. What with all those Radio Shack commercials?
That's true.
So long. I mean,
that's right.
You kind of is the face of Christmas for like 1999 to 2002.
That's right. Yeah, so when you think Armatron, you think Howie Long and Christmas. So we'll have a good time if you tune into our Troll 2 podcast, where we had all just sat down, sight unseen, just watch it and kind of talked our way through it. This will be similar. Now, no one's seen Firestorm except for me, right?
Oh, I saw it.
You saw it, Mac? Okay.
Yes. I only saw it once back when it was in the theaters. So
you went to the theaters to see it?
Yes. It was sparsely attended, as I recall. My memory is somewhat hazy on the film. I kind of only remember these signature moments.
Oh, it's probably hazy because the whole film is hazy. It's about fourths.
So I'm looking forward to rediscovering the film.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
The first time around.
Stay tuned for a very firestorm crew. And, you know, that again, you're talking, you know, wood-burning stoves and the logs on the fire. So it'll be very seasonal.
It'll warm the cockles of your heart.
It totally will. It absolutely will. So,
five-alarm fire.
Dave, I don't want you to spoil the end of the movie, but is there any chance Howie Long's chestnuts roast on an open fire?
Someone's done. Someone's
done. Okay.
Yeah, believe you me.
My cockles are warm already.
Oh, yes. Cockles are ready to ride. So, all right. So, that's coming soon. That should be a hoot. So, I guess we'll just keep going with the normal Friday filibustering. It's been a while, gentlemen, so I'm sure you had a lot happening, a lot on your plate, so to speak, besides the turkey and fixing. So, Erica, what have you been watching these last – what did you watch for the holiday the holiday layover?
A lot of what I've been reviewing, so we'll talk about that later. But we've been going through Mad Men. We're almost caught up to where the DVDs stop. In fact, it ripped away from a very taut episode on this podcast, but as Dave, you already duly noted my sacrifice to be here. So,
right,
don't tick it again. I don't want you to. You know,
yeah, I know it's already
stamp my card more than once.
It's already on the ledger.
All right, you get 10 sacrifices, you get one free. That's how it works.
Yep.
But we're really enjoying that. I'm not sure what we're going to do once we run out of. We only got two episodes left in season three. And then season four doesn't come out on DVD, I guess, for a while. I don't know. I guess there's no release date, so I guess I'm hooked. But non-TV, non-movie related, I got a new video game.
Excellent.
And so I've been playing some Donkey Kong Country Returns on the Wii, and that is a lot of fun. It's an old school style 2D, side scrolling left to right platformer, brutally tough in places. But
that series is known for, right?
Yeah, totally. And I played bits and pieces of the first two that came out on the Super Nintendo, no great nostalgia for the series necessarily. But I heard a lot of good things about this, and it's a lot of fun. Very creative, some great boss encounters, some great kind of big set pieces, and things, bits that remind me of the video game Battletoads, which is one of my favorites, but yeah. Also infamous for being pretty tough. So I've been doing that in between other things.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you think what do you think a Mad Men video game would look like?
Be very smoky.
Yep.
Be, I guess it would be the I don't know, the whole like adultery mini game.
Yeah, like infidelity motion.
What I feel like it would be a lot like. Do you ever play Wall Street Kid for the Nintendo?
It'd be like that. Yeah.
I think it'd be like that, only with advertising.
I'm gonna switch mine around. I think the adultery would be the main meat of the game.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the doing work would be the mini game. Every once in a while, you do a little bit of work.
You sip brandy.
Yeah, you sip your brandy. You fall asleep on the couch. You know, you bang a few random chicks, and you're done.
Nice. All right.
It would also be a side-scrolling platformer.
Of course.
Oh, we have so many games in the pipeline. We really need Friday Filibuster Studios. We need EA to buy us out immediately. You know, to say by the bell, beat them up. We need all that stuff. All right, very good. Mac.
I've been busy with a lot of different projects and a lot of stuff that works. I haven't had a whole lot of time for some movie watching, I'm afraid. But so I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss.
Comic books. Roller derby?
No, it's the off season for the roller derby.
What do they do during an off season? Is it a lot of cross training or?
I don't know. I think they do. They just let all their bruises heal for a while.
Oh, the Pittsburgh Roller Derby's been having like charity things, like for the holidays and everything.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they do that up there or if they don't believe in charity.
They don't. Charity.
During the season, they do like, you know, toy drives and stuff, but I don't know about what they do lately. But yeah, so I'm Mr.
Castle. Castle episodes, Ben 10 episodes.
Castle is on hiatus for that.
You are adrift. You are a man, not an anchor, my friend.
I am adrift. Yes, I need entertainment in my life. I don't know. I watched.
Mac, how did the National Novel Writing Month or whatever it was go for you?
I'm afraid I biffed it yet again. I didn't reach the 50,000. Word count again, so I peaked at, you know, I think around 39,000 words.
Nothing to sneeze at, my friend.
Slacker.
You know what you should do? You should pick up that same novel again next November.
Oh, but that would be cheating.
Oh, whatever.
According to official rules, you have to start from scratch. And
official rules?
There are rules, yes.
Dave, as you know, all great art starts with a list of rules.
Yes, absolutely. I learned that in my intro to visual arts class at college. Yes. That's the first thing we learned. And slides. That and slides.
Yeah, slides.
All right, well, we look forward to next week, Mac, when you give it a hope of yourself.
Yes, next week I'm going to make it my goal to have official entertainment stuff to report.
No hot Hollywood gossip either? Nothing either, no.
That's right.
All right. Okay, Mike, what about you?
I watched a lot of things. So I watched enough to make up for Max. We'll say
very
that.
Good.
I watched enough for Max. Yeah. you know,
I loved enough for us. Go ahead.
Because I was, I reviewed a 5-movie set for DVD Verdict plus another big title that came out last week that we'll talk about later. But I also watched, also been pumping that Netflix Instant Watch because of.
So are you an official member? Or are you just skating on free trial? All right, good.
It's been over a month since Troll 2. Okay. I'm an official. I'm paying for it now.
Nice. All right.
So I hope you're happy.
I am.
I know they are, and they raised the rates.
I know. Just as you got. Yeah.
Just as I joined, they raised the rates. So the other day I watched. Mission Impossible again. I returned to that for some reason.
Tom Cruise version?
Yeah, the Tom Cruise one. Because I'm a huge fan of the TV show and it was a lot better than I remembered it being. Like, I sort of remember being real cool on that movie and not really caring about it and at one point arguing with somebody that wasn't like the TV show. But when you watch it, especially now that I've seen like 4 seasons of the old show, it's actually a pretty decent movie, and it's really faithful to the television show. So I don't know. Who directed that one? Brian De Palma.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And yes, it's a good-looking movie. It's got a great
final action scene.
Great final action scene, and a lot of the team at the beginning of the movie is just filled with cameos, like Emilio Estevez, and it's a pretty. It's like it might be the best of the three now that I think about it.
Wow, see, I'm a fan of the third one. I would say.
You know, I like the third one a lot.
The second one has been my least favorite by a long shot, by a country mile, as they say.
Yeah, that second one is
pretty
terrific.
Bad.
But I don't know. I was surprised to revisit it.
I was done with the second one in the beginning when they had the slow motion 360 car spin. You remember?
Yes.
They were having that race, and that's when they fell in love with each other. So, yeah, brutal.
See, that's why the second one is so great, because of the cheese factor.
I don't know. I just can't take it.
Yeah, if it was called something else, maybe.
Yeah, man, that's true.
But the fact that it's called Mission Impossible is just not, like,
so Jack's exciting day out, perhaps.
Yeah, like that movie is the total opposite of what Mission Impossible is all about. So,
excellent final bad guy death in first Mission Impossible. John Voight getting scraped off of the railroad rails.
Oh, yeah, there's some pretty, brutal stuff. Like when Emilio Estevez gets his face shoved in.
That's right.
Like random spikes that are at the top of an elevator shaft.
That's like the last I've seen of Emilio Estevez, actually. Just that move.
That must not have been a stunt. I don't know. And it's got, it even does the thing where, like, in the old TV show, every episode began where they showed you the whole episode, like, in really quick clips during the opening credits, and you didn't understand what anything was, and everything looked intense, like some dude's unbuttoning his jacket, somebody's falling over a stairwell, and then a girl's taking a sip from a glass, and you don't understand what it means. And they do that in this movie, too. Like, they show you clips from throughout the whole movie during the opening credits.
Right.
Which is a nice little, it's a nice little homage.
You've officially taken over Eric's role as reviewing old movies, so it's old news with Mike Rapino now. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I got replaced?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Unless you've got an older movie you can talk about.
No. Not this week.
And I also want to throw a shout out for The Walking Dead, which I've still been following and loving, and it's got one episode left, so I'm pretty sad about that. But Frank Darabont, I read today, fired the entire writing staff.
What? Really?
I heard that too, yeah.
Yeah, he fired the... He's going to write him what, himself? Is that it, Mac? Or he's going to just take more control of it?
I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, all the writers are gone.
Yeah, so.
I wonder about Robert Kirkman, the creator of the original graphic novel, if he's still involved in the show now or if he got the boot with all the writers. So,
Is there any reason why, or is it just creative differences? Or?
Well, the article I read on the, I believe it was the AV Club, had some things about just, he was having to rewrite a lot of what the writers were coming up with.
Oh, okay.
And they were taking his scripts, and he thought that his scripts were better. And I kind of assume that Kirkman and that producer from The Shield, I assume they would stay on. I think I got the sense it was more like the Writers Guild people. It was sort of surprising to hear that today, because I guess last week's episode actually had more viewers than the pilot or something.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty popular, and and then boop, fired all the writers. So,
and he made that sound as he was doing it too. Boop.
He said boop.
That's really the sound you want to hear when you're being fired.
He called them all into his office.
He's boop, like, boop. Henry, boop, you're fired. Bill, boop, you're fired.
As he poked them all in the nose.
Squeeze their hands, squeeze their hands.
Got your nose and your last paycheck.
All right. Anything else in your sack of treasures there?
No.
All right.
This sack is – I'm keeping the rest of it secret.
Okay. Good. I don't know. Mike's treasure sack sounds like
a family-themed restaurant or something.
I guess. What kind of food would it serve?
It's like a fast food restaurant where everything comes in, like, mini burlap bags.
Yeah, the grease. Yeah,
that'd be good.
Mike's treasure sack full of good old fashioned eats.
Yar.
Okay, well, I don't know. I did Walking Dead. I've been playing some video games, but I'm just going to talk about one thing that I caught finally, and it was a movie that I kind of been wanting to see, but not really. Fulfilling that 80s action, bucket list that I try to populate as much as possible. It was the movie. You guys ever see or hear of Showdown in Little Tokyo?
Is that the Dolph Lundgren?
Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee.
I've not seen it.
It's this movie that just, I don't know, it's never on, but I found it on television, and I got right to the part I wanted to see, because I'm always interested in the final bad guy death scenes in these movies. You know, are they memorable? I mean, the movie itself is pretty dumb, actually, but I do have to say there's two bad guy death scenes that are pretty fantastic. One is Brandon Lee fighting the token kung fu artist, and he kicks him. Actually, the guy who played the second in command in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, he was a main.
I know that guy.
Oh, I'm talking about. He was a bad guy in this, and you know, as Brandon Lee's beating him up, he's reading him his rights. You know, so he's Mirandizing him as he's punching him in the face, and then he tosses him to a vat of gasoline, and then says, "You have the right to remain dead," and tosses in a mask. Thing explodes, so that's pretty nice. But it was outdone by the fight between Dolph Lundgren and the main bad guy, who was Shang Tsung in the Mortal Kombat movie. So they're nice. Fighting. They're fighting in like they're on a in the middle of a Japanese street fair, and for some reason, Dolph Lundgren's got the big, billowing like samurai pants. You know the ones I'm talking about, just like those big, huge pants, and he's got himself a samurai sword, and he impales the bad guy, and then the bad guy runs back and gets stuck on one of like those spinning firework wheels. You know? Can you picture what I'm talking about?
Sure, yes. Yeah, of course.
He's pinned on this thing and it spins, and for some reason it keeps spinning faster and faster. So this guy is impaled on this spinning firework wheel, and he's screaming. Everyone's just looking and watching, and it's spinning faster, 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 and the whole thing explodes for some reason. Fantastic.
Wow.
Pretty good, yeah. So it was pretty intense. And with that, I can close the book on Showdown in Little Tokyo.
So. I think, well, Dave, that was officially older than whatever Mike talked about.
That's so true.
Maybe
true.
Old news with David Johnson.
I think so. Check and mate. All right. Well, let's get on to what we have been working on for the site. Eric, why don't you start? What have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching a whole lot of The Twilight Zone Season 2. On Blu-ray, got that set to review, and it's a meaty set. The first season came out in September. Second season just came out mid-November, so they're really kind of pumping these out. Just like last time, you know, they look amazing. They went back and rescanned it, and all these episodes look great. Quite a few classics on this time around. We got Eye of the Beholder. One of the great fan favorites. That's a great one.
That's a classic.
Nick of Time, which was William Shatner's first episode. It's the one with the diner with the fortune telling, napkin holder.
Yeah, I kind of miss. I wish more diners had those.
I know.
Diner. I've never seen them in a diner. But
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe devil-headed fortune telling napkin holders could be a fixture at Mike's Treasure Sack.
Yes,
that's it.
Mike's Treasure Shack.
Writing that down.
Yep. I keep wanting to say Mike's Treasure Shack, but it's going to be tough.
Because you don't get your food in tiny shacks. Right. You get them in sacks.
That's right, sacks of food.
Maybe they should be served by Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, maybe.
Dressed up as Shazam.
And you pay for all your food with like little sacks of gold, from Baldur's Gate. That's how you pay for it.
So that's Twilight Zone Season 2.
And it's lived up and exceeded your expectations.
Yeah, it's great. And also, this is the season where they actually videotaped six episodes. CBS was trying to save money because it was actually a pretty expensive series to produce. So they shot six episodes on videotape, and it was not a good experiment. It kind of negates any benefit that you get from Blu-ray here. And they look like kind of live TV. Kind of loses the magic and the quality. They had to like really limit where they shot the episodes. But there is a couple good standouts in there. One is a the episode Long Distance Call with Billy Mummy. Mummy? Mummy? How do you say his name? I don't know.
I think it's Mummy.
Anderson. Mummy. Yeah, that's Anderson. as a kid who's who has a toy telephone that he uses to talk to his dead grandmother.
Oh.
A kind of a dark climax to that one. But anyway, it's really good. There's a ton of bonus features. Fortunately, as far as I can tell, I didn't have any trouble playing these discs, and I can't find anyone online saying that they did. So I guess whatever problems they were having with the first set, they've ironed out for season two. So I guess you can buy with confidence.
All right. Nice. Cool. All right, Mac?
Yeah, I've got another – just like last time we talked, I was talking about Doctor Who. I've got another one of this year's big British TV shows, so I'm kind of on a British TV show kick. But it's from the same writer, Stephen Moffat. It's the new Sherlock.
That's right, where they solve cases like on blogs or something.
That's right. It takes place in the – it's Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, and it takes place in the modern day. So – Watson has a blog. They've both got totally pimped out cell phones, and you know, and they're dealing with, you know, modern day forensic science and whatnot.
Do they run their detective agency out of a garage? And you put a quarter on a gasoline can and you hire them?
No, that would be awesome, but sadly, no. But they're, you know, it's really a very. I would have thought that it wouldn't have worked. You know, I thought, it's too gimmicky. It's like, oh, ha-ha, Sherlock Holmes is using a cell phone. Isn't that wacky? But instead, they really made it work. It's really a very cool blending of just sort of classic Sherlock Holmes with the modern sensibility. Yeah. So, you know, you've got the CSI guys who are combing over the crime scene looking for the DNA and whatnot. But, you know, Holmes, being Holmes, he's very perceptive and he's got the great powers of observation. He can see these little details that no one else can see, and he's such a, you know, scholar of, you know, human psychology that he can tell things about the suspects that no one else can tell. So it's very much that classic, you know, Sherlock Holmes powers of deduction that we all remember and we love from the classic stories, but they've really brought it up into the modern age, and it really works. It works really well. Right. And of course, no one calls him Holmes. Everyone goes by their first name, so he is Sherlock. That took a little getting used to.
Yeah, because that's usually used as like derogatory sarcasm, you know? Right. You know, like, good observation, Sherlock.
Yes, exactly. But it was really good. I really liked it. It was very well made, well written, well acted, and I highly recommend it.
Now, you know, do you think, speaking of Encyclopedia Brown real quick, that was an Encyclopedia Brown reference, but do you think anyone ever hired Encyclopedia Brown to just like do yard work and stuff, you know, gave him the quarter? Said,
probably not, because he would like, even while he was doing that, he would probably start telling you stuff about.
That's what I would do
about what he's doing.
Put a quarter on the gas can, you know, the case of the leaves that need to be raked.
That'd be a good one. That'd be good. See, I thought you were going to ask if anyone ever hired him to see if their like wife was cheating on them.
That would be great.
Like like Encyclopedia Brown taking on a Veronica Mars case or something like that.
That's right.
Yes. To grow up real fast there.
This Bugs Meaty doing it at the hourly rate hotel. No, Bugs Beanie would make a great name for a pet, don't you think? Someone needs a name for a pet, Bugs Beanie.
I think much like Sherlock Holmes, I'd like to see Encyclopedia Brown updated into a Veronica Mars style gritty, you know, WB's not around anymore, but CW style show.
Right.
Maybe, you know, just make him a little bit older so he's, you know, a teen.
Yep.
Throw him maybe a love interest or something.
Right.
And, you know, get Rob ready. Thomas
to do it. I think the last one of those new books came out like 1955 or something. I don't know who owns the rights for that. Maybe that's some rights we can scoop up.
Well, we'll just change the names slightly.
That's right.
I mean, I don't even know what they call him. Like, it wouldn't be. What was his real name? What was it on Wikipedia? Leroy. Was it Leroy? Leroy Brown, or that's his dad?
No, that's somebody else.
Leroy Brown, bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man of the whole day.
Why don't we could just make a new one? We'll just make a new character named Britannica Jones.
I was thinking the same thing.
Britannica Jones.
If we're going to modernize him, he needs to be Wikipedia something.
Yeah.
Wikipedia Henderson.
That would be a lawsuit when it happened.
Except that he would try and solve cases Wikipedia would, but he'd kind of get some stuff wrong sometimes.
Or he'd get hacked. You know,
halfway through the case, this everything would change.
Because anyone can just log on and change the who the suspects are.
Yeah, here is the person who committed the crime, though. So some of these citations have been called into question. okay. So, Mike, what have you been reviewing? What do you got?
Well, briefly, I reviewed it wasn't briefly. It took a long time. Five movies by Guy Madden, a Winnipeg experimental art house director.
Okay, I've heard enough. Let me tell you what
And more. But last week...
A Winnipeg's experimental director.
But last week, my review of The Expendables debuted on the site along with yours, Mr. Johnson.
That's right.
That's really what, you know, I want to talk about.
Good, go for it.
As much as I enjoyed Guy Madden, The Expendables was a pure joy to see again. It was really good to revisit it. You know, now that the hype has died down, you know, when I saw it the first time, I told you guys it was at midnight in Chicago, and it was like I had my shirt on and everything. The Expendables T-shirt. I was in the zone.
I thought you typically watch. So
yeah, I didn't take my shirt off. It was a very special show. But no, this time I was able to look at it, you know, with a critical eye, obviously, and it still holds up as a really awesome throwback to 80s action movies.
I think it holds up even better. Like, you know, setting aside the hype and the greatest action movie ever made, just looking at it. I think it exceeds it the second time around even more.
Like, there's literally no nonsense in this movie. Right. Like there's not a lick of nonsense. They just show up, the problem occurs, they solve it, and then there's like a subplot about beating up dudes on a basketball court.
And it's like a remedial fifth grade textbook, you know?
It really is.
That need to be solved, and they're pretty straightforward, and they're solved, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's like it literally is A to B. It's a straight line movie. There's nothing, there's no complications, nope. And nobody has any like internal problems or anything to figure out in themselves. They just do it because they have to do it because they're men. And, you know, the problems with the movie still remain, like the editing and things like that.
That's right. The point, it's very episodic when you look at it. You know, it's like Jet Li and Stallone have a scene together. Stallone and Statham have a scene together, you know, but it works.
Yeah.
And that's what people want to see. And then, you know, Christopher Carpenter shows up and disappears for the remainder of the movie.
Yeah, and you know, you sort of realize, like, especially listening to Stallone's awesome commentary track.
Yeah, very good.
That it's like, you know, he only had these guys. Like, I didn't realize he only had Mickey Rourke for 48 hours to film all that stuff. So it's like no wonder certain people were only in the movie for little bits because they were all in between films and doing this as a favor, doing this for free. So it's like, everybody in this movie is having fun, and everybody's in it because they want to be in it, not because they're trying to make a buck. So, you know, and that's that scene with Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis and Stallone is still like ridiculously hilarious. Yeah. So there you go. It's worth renting. It's worth buying.
All right, I concur. And I don't know. I don't have anything of note really to report. Two Dancing with the Stars workout DVDs, a Care Bears made for TV really? Movie.
Talked about the Expendables. That's what you're bringing.
I did review a Dragon Dynasty, which is one of my favorite labels. Released the Ultimate Edition Blu-ray of a movie called Kill Zone, starring Donnie Yen. You know, this is an import actioner, and it's actually very good. I won't ruin anything, but it's got. I talked about like the depressing nihilistic ending of Silver Dream Racer, right?
Right.
I think this one outdoes it, actually. I mean, this is like an action movie that Hollywood has no balls to make. I mean, the ending is just whoa. So, but there's some fantastic action in it, and it's a genuinely interesting crime story. So, I would if import action is your deal, and there's some great stuff to be had, you know, overseas with, you know, like Infernal Affairs, for example, is one of my favorite. You know, that was where The Departed was based on, but I liked Infernal Affairs better. So there's some good stuff that comes out from the Hong Kong studios, and Killzone is a very good one. So I'd recommend that. And that's what I will say. So I'll hand it over to you, Mac.
Okay, why don't we take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And from there, we're going to go to the cover art gallery for December 7th. I'm sure we're all very looking forward to Inception on DVD and Blu-ray.
That's right. That's right. I wonder if it's kind of a stripped down, making way for the double dip movie like The Dark Knight was. Probably.
I think what I was reading made it sound like it might be. I don't think there's much in the way of like commentaries or anything like that. I think it's pretty much just some featurettes and. Disappointing because you have something like, you know, hate to go back to it, but, you know, Edgar Wright's, you know, Scott Pilgrim versus the World was just packed with stuff, or this Twilight Zone set, or kind of, I guess, anything Edgar Wright ever did, but then you got these movies that are really popular and they just kind of hold them back.
Yeah.
Disappointing, but good movie. I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
I'm looking forward to seeing Johnny Mnemonic again.
No.
Huh?
There you go. There's a double feature.
There are an awful lot of movies here that I think we can all look forward to seeing again.
I know.
There's a lot of old stuff.
A lot of old stuff.
Yeah, like re-releasing Johnny Mnemonic.
And tips from the coach, how to conduct a practice.
I like, let's see, the Al Pacino movie, Second Rope Down. There's something wrong with his head. Is it And Justice for All? Look like his head is on wrong.
Yeah, he's supposed to be looking to the side, but he's kind of looking a little too far to the side.
Something's wrong with that guy's head. Maybe he's suing.
It's totally Photoshopped. It's got to be.
He's suing the neck surgeon. Maybe that's what it's about. Now, look at Mike. We're so close because right above that is the action four pack, you know?
Yeah.
I got to think that we've got to be tantalizingly close to the sudden death release.
I know. Are those in Blu-ray? Is that what that is?
I don't think those are in Blu-ray, but.
Okay.
You're seeing more and more of those, so.
I know. I've always wanted to see Chuck Norris's Octagon. What's that? Has anybody seen that? It looks intriguing because it's called Octagon.
I'm trying to. Is that the one where it's like a?
It's where he does math. He helps kids out with their math exams.
It looks kind of futuristic.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it's like a tournament type of movie where, you know, the octagon is the shape of the arena and they fight. I think I'm not sure.
Sure. So it's what they call the, you know, the mixed martial arts ring.
Yeah, but this looks like it's in the future. It must be future mixed martial arts. That's probably it.
Boy, a lot. You're right. A lot of old stuff. Harpoon. I wonder what that's all about. Like five people impaled on a harpoon.
Well, that's the unrated version. There's
that's
also
right.
The rated version that you can watch with your family.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
A Videodrome is coming out on Criterion.
Oh, nice.
Which is a cool movie, I guess.
Dave, this movie, Idle Hands, I remember watching that with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. when you were working at that preschool.
We didn't watch it at the preschool, did we?
Sure, it was nap time.
Why not?
It was shortly before you got fired.
That's right.
How about Half Past Dead 2 with Bill Goldberg?
I believe
and
I
corrupt.
Did I review that one, Matt? Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I believe you did review that for the site, or at least we talked about it. Because my question is, if it's Half Past Dead 2, wouldn't that make it Fully Past Dead?
True.
Does Half Past Dead make any sense to you anyway? Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, I think that's... I did. So that was something I reviewed, and if this is 2, then shouldn't be the movie called Fully Past Dead. Yeah, I think you wrote that blurb for me, Mac.
Yeah, that's where that came from, yes.
And that scored a 73.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Someone was feeling generous that day.
Man, apparently. Merry Christmas to all.
Someone just got back from a satisfying meal at Mike's Treasure Shack.
I think so. Well, all I've seen is, I don't know, I've seen a whole bunch of re-releases here. I don't know. Anything else that...
How about Rainbow? The Dio's old band?
Okay.
That album or that DVD art isn't really selling me on them, but
I do not like some of these. I do not like. I don't know how they snuck onto the upcoming DVD releases, to tell you the truth. Some of them are a little questionable.
Yes. You mean like Short Circuit 2?
Yes.
Wait, that's on this list? Where's that?
Oh, it is. It's right next to all of the
terrible
Shrek releases.
I love Short Circuit 2.
Of course.
Fisher Stevens.
So you're a big Fisher Stevens fan.
I am.
You may be the biggest Fisher Stevens fan I know.
Oh, then you might like The Fisher King. That's up near the top of the list.
That's about him?
It is. You didn't know that.
Is that a biographical movie?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, this I got to tell you, this upcoming release list is boring me to death, so let's move on here. Inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week. Eric, what do you have?
Belly of the Beast.
Very good. Mac?
Strapped.
Good, too. Mike?
The Toy.
I'm going to go with Annie's Point. Mainly because of Teddy Point on the cover.
Nice.
Okay, moving on to Amber's topics. The final phase of the Friday Filibuster. We just throw random topics at each other. And Eric, why don't you kick us off?
All right, this is pretty straightforward. Extra body parts.
Okay, I got it before someone else takes it. That lady in Total Recall.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah.
Yep. She's got three jugs.
Call that the triple jug.
That's right.
You can get one of those at Mike's treasure sack. It's three kinds
soft drink of your choice.
Yeah, three kinds of soda in one container.
Your waitress will serve you.
Okay. How about those four? They were six-legged horses in Avatar, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they had two in the front and one in the
back. Yeah, I never quite understood that biology. I didn't see how natural selection ended up with that, with the six legs.
It was the unobtainium made it possible.
The unobtainium, made them grow extra legs. Yeah, so.
Anything in Avatar that can't be explained biologically, it's unobtainium.
Sounds good to me. So, yeah, those six-legged things. And they look like regular horses, but they just had six legs. So,
Dave, are you sure the horses had six legs? You didn't just not put your 3D glasses on?
Ooh, that's possible. That is very possible.
Maybe that would make them three-legged horses, which is not.
Yeah, that'd be even weirder, I suppose. Yeah. Little horse tripods. Yeah. All right, Mac.
Let's see. Well, I've got two in mind, but they're both kind of really obscure.
Combine them and maybe they won't be as obscure.
Okay. Well, we'll go with the one from the movie as from the end of Child's Play 2 when Chucky goes through the,
the
manufacturing machine.
That's good.
And in a moment of extreme agony, he gets a bunch of other toy limbs singed onto him or welded onto him. So he becomes this. He's got all these other arms and legs sticking out of him, very painfully looking. He really takes a beating at the end of that movie. And the other one I had in mind was from comic books when Spider-Man went through a terrifying transformation and ended up with four extra arms, turning him into an actual eight-legged creature.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah, this was inspired by Twilight Zone. There are probably several instances. I was thinking mostly of the episode, Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up? Although I'm not going to use that as my answer because I thought of a couple other ones. We can go with Zaphod Beeblebrox in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
All right.
The multi-headed.
Yes.
And three arms.
That's right. Is that three arms?
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Oh, I forgot.
That's 2 points. That's a bonus 2 points for you on this round.
Did he have three arms in the BBC version?
I think so.
Or just not that.
Sure, but I think so.
And my backup answer, if you took everything else I had on my list, was the six-figured man from The Princess Bride.
Oh, good. Of course, yes.
Well played. Count Dugan. Guest, yes.
Yes.
Very good. All right, I'll go next. There has been a lot of scuttlebutt about the upcoming Broadway show Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. not very – apparently they had their preview recently, and apparently it was pretty awful. A lot of technical glitches, not a lot of stuff made sense. just people kind of suspended in the air by the wires for, you know, minutes and minutes on end. So it has the makings of a $65 million flop. So other Broadway shows based on movie characters that would likely flop very hard, but also be extremely expensive to produce. So awful ideas for Broadway shows, sorry, movie characters that would be extraordinarily expensive to mount.
Well, I'll just chime in with RoboCop.
The RoboCop musical, yes.
Yeah, I don't think he would have much of a singing voice with that voice of his.
It would be a rap, probably,
and
right?
It would take him like 10 minutes to get across the stage. He wouldn't be able to dance or anything.
Like if he was coming from behind the theater like they do sometimes, you know, like a 20-minute opening.
But he had the love duet, Stay Out of Trouble.
Yes.
And Stay in My Heart.
That'd be really expensive, too, with those those giant robots he fights.
All right.
The blood packs alone.
And then the toxic melting scene.
The toxic waste guy would have to have his musical number.
That's right.
I'm melting.
And, like with the wire work with Spider-Man, you can bring in the jetpack from RoboCop 3 and have him flying over the heads.
Because that was such a hit in the movie. That's such a smart move on that part.
Let's give him a jetpack, guys. I'm going to go with, I think The Matrix would be a pretty big disaster. Because not only would, I mean, they would have problems first off, jumping back and forth between, like, real life. What was that called? I don't even know what that was called. The, hacker world or whatever. And then The Matrix. And, but then they would also have a lot of the same problems that Spider-Man has with the wire work. Except that I picture, like, them trying to replicate, like, the camera spinning around the characters by just spinning the characters.
That's good. Or spinning the entire audience.
Spinning the entire audience.
That would be theater around and awesome. You just zip the audience around, yeah.
It'd be like the largest theater ever built just for that one sequence.
Just for that. Yeah, it'd be like a Cirque du Soleil thing where they'd build a tent, they'd build the audience on a motor, but then, of course, it would go wrong and the audience would just keep spinning.
And the G-forces would just kill people.
Yeah, people would start throwing up. It would be bad. But there would be a pretty sweet scene. Like, I imagine the musical would encapsulate all three films. Sure. So, you know, like that scene in the second movie when all the Mr. Smiths start attacking, like the hundreds of them. I could see that being a pretty sweet dance number.
That'd be great. So many Smiths.
So many Smiths.
Lyrics by Elton John. One Smith too many. Okay, very good. Eric.
Somewhere between either Godzilla or King Kong, something that would require a giant, you know, animatronic monster to be built.
You could do Godzilla versus King Kong.
Godzilla versus King Kong.
Japanese
musical. Would be good.
Wow, that would be awe-inspiring, though.
You had the stage, which would be, you know, the jungle, and then, you know, King Kong would be there, and then in front of the audience, you have a massive body of water, it's got to be a big orchestra pit, and then Godzilla would emerge from the water, climb up. I mean, it would be expensive. Don't get me wrong, but and I don't think either of them would do a very good job singing. That's my only.
No,
I mean, would they be the one singing, or would it be the human? You know, like the human. You know, the scientists, the Japanese scientists that are always screwed over, and the ones tasked with stopping them. You know. Maybe the army generals, kind of a nice ballad where they lament the inefficiency of their missiles.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm remembering the movie correctly, the human characters have a scene where they compare the sizes of the brains of King Kong and Godzilla. Maybe that could be a big musical number with, like, you know, the Godzilla people on the one half of the stage singing about the size of its brain, then the King Kong people on the other half singing about
its brain.
Summer Nights.
It'd be like that scene. Exactly. Like that scene.
Summer Nights. Well, oh, well, oh, well, oh.
All All right, I'm going to go with Speed, the musical. mounting a musical that involves a bus going less than 50 miles an hour. I think it would be I think you'd have to build kind of an overpass that goes around the audience. That would be a
giant conveyor belt that the bus is on throughout the whole show.
I mean, you've got three giant set pieces you need to transmit. You got the elevator hostage crisis. Then, of course, you've got the bus, and then you've got the train, the subway. Yeah. So it would be.
I think the best part of that musical would be seeing, like, when the people fall off of the bus.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the couple of people that die, like, how they handle that. Like, do they fall into the crowd? Do they just roll off stage and pretend to die?
Yeah, probably. Or, like, that's right. Or they get just bungee corded back, you know, into the darkness somewhere.
Yeah, they just fly off.
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing about that musical would be to see how long it takes before everyone in the audience passes out from the fumes.
That's right, the diesel fumes. that would be a big challenge, I think. I mean, investors would have to think twice, think hard about this.
But on the plus side, you wouldn't have any bad reviews because no one would survive it to write one.
That's true. We'll have to make the bus carbon neutral somehow. You know, it'll have to be this hybrid bus. You know. I mean, it'd be a vast undertaking, but I think you would see it pay off in box office receipts in a big way. Okay.
Oh, just Speed with an exclamation point.
It would have to be. I mean, all of these, I'm assuming it'd be RoboCop with an exclamation point. Yeah. Maybe Neo exclamation point for the Matrix.
Yeah, that sounds good.
What was yours, Eric?
Oh, Godzilla and King Kong. So it'd be Godzilla exclamation point. Versus exclamation point.
Yes.
King exclamation point.
Oh, yes.
Kong exclamation point. Exclamation point.
Ah.
Exclamation point.
Italicized would be fantastic.
Yeah, italicized here. Of course. Yeah, of course.
All right. Very good. Mac, what do you have?
All right. This one's pretty simple. Death traps.
I very recently saw my first Saw movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd never seen any of them. And then it was you know, around Halloween time, and on the Netflix instant queue, they have Saw 6. So I started there, which is probably a weird place to start anyway. It's not a very good movie. I mean, this seems – maybe if it wasn't all shot like a music video, it would be a little bit better. But you know, it's all manner of kind of horrible ways to go. That one kicks off with – two people who have to place bits of their, you know, carve off body parts and stick them on a scale to see who can survive. So that was pretty bad.
So you're saying that it's dialogue driven?
What, the movie?
Yes.
No. Why? What did I say?
That made no, not that. I was assuming. Never mind. Mac got it. Mac got it.
Dialogue. I don't know. That was my answer.
That's good. It's a good one.
It's not. I don't know. I didn't even come up with a specific death trap. I just said Saw 6.
I think that's fine. I think that counts. The whole movie is a death trap.
Counts.
A lot of death traps.
I'm gonna go with the death trap being the insane village at the top of the mountain in Gymkhana.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah, that whole place is a death trap.
Well played.
And thankfully, there's a pommel horse in the center of that death trap. But
and that otherwise, a death trap for the death trap villagers.
Yeah, I mean, it's the like villagers a there.
Death trap.
The villagers there are crazy. They wear masks and faces on the backs of their heads. Some of them don't wear pants, and they just wander around with pitchforks and crazy looks on their faces, waiting for any sort of gymnast to come in there.
That's right, and pummel them to oblivion. Excellent answer.
Yeah. What was it called? Do you remember?
I mean, it was like the village. No.
Village of the Damned.
I don't know. That's a movie, isn't it? That's a couple.
Yeah, but I thought they might.
It might be. Yeah, it might be. As they might have been lazy enough to call it the Village of the Damned.
I thought they did, but something like that, or Village of the Crazies.
That might be it.
I don't know.
Somebody needs to get on that. Where's our research assistant? A research intern, get on that. I'm going to go with all the wild stuff that Conan the Barbarian cooked up in the end of that movie when he was waiting for James Earl Jones and his cronies. You know, a lot of a lot of sharpened sticks pulled back on a makeshift pulley system. A lot of booby traps. So just a amusement park full of carnage.
I always have a vast appreciation for heroes in action movies who take the time to set all these traps, knowing that like later on this might work.
That's right. I mean, they were pretty complicated traps with not a high amount of flexibility, not a lot of latitude. It had to be very precise, but the idiots fell into them. So
we appreciate it. And with that whole desert to run around in, they rode right into the traps too.
That's right.
Very fortunate.
All right. Mac.
Well, for mine, a movie that's been on my mind a lot lately and has a series of great death traps in the middle part is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
That's right.
You got the room full of bugs, which we all love, of course, and then the room full of spikes, where all the crazy spikes of different sizes all come out, and big sort of mechanical... And that's where Andy gives us the great thing where he looks through the little peephole and says, "We are going to die."
They're not great. They're pretty well engineered, but if they could be stopped by a well-placed skull, that might be.
That's true.
Maybe the thuggy need to really look at their math and science majors. My runners-up, I think, would be the Swiss Family Robinson, one of the great Disney family movies where they just slaughter pirates wholesale, with their many multitude of death traps. All right, Mike, finish us off.
All right, an underdog story where the underdog loses.
Oh. Heartbreak. Okay, I'm going to go with Silver Dream Racer. not only does he lose, he really loses. So, again, just to refresh your memory, the Silver Dream Racer, he finally is able to compete against his adversary, played by Beau Bridges, and he's riding the Silver Dream motorcycle, and he beats him. He beats him in the race, but because of some subterfuge, the axle breaks, and in brutal slow motion, everybody watches as he crashes to his death and then explodes on the roadway and then fades to black. One of the greatest, worst endings ever. Wow. So devastating that the American version ended the whole movie at when he crosses the finish line. So if you just watch the American version, you have no idea the horror that awaited.
It's like Vanishing Point. You ever see that old movie?
No.
Yes. It's the same way. It ends with him racing across the country, and then he just crashes into a tractor. The credits.
but with that one, they kind of foreshadow it, don't they? There's talk
they
in the movie about how he feels like he's doomed and stuff.
They do. But still, it's... Yeah. Still traumatic.
Well, for mine, I guess I'll go with the obvious, which is the Bad News Bears. They have the huge, big game at the end, and they don't win, but they get to feel like they're winners because their coach wasn't the jerkwad that the opposing team's coach was, yelling at the kids.
Yeah, but you don't get a trophy and a trip to Dairy Queen for that.
No.
Did they? Was it the same
Queen's
ending?
For closers, Dave, as you will.
That's right.
Was it the same ending in the remake?
I actually never saw the remake.
Me neither. The one with Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh man, I forgot that movie existed.
That's right. It does. I've never seen it either, so. All right.
Eric?
I guess I'll go with the movie Friday Night Lights, which is probably similar to Bad News Bears, but I haven't seen that one, where they get to the finals and they lose the game. I mean, it's still uplifting, but same kind of thing where, they don't go all the way. They don't kind of turn around and become this amazing team that wins everything, so. I guess you could also. I was going to pick something else, but it might be Mike, so I won't. So, but that's okay. So, Friday Night Lights. That's mine.
Good.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was actually a movie I just watched before this podcast called Mystery Alaska.
The hockey.
A hockey movie.
Yeah.
Up in Alaska with Russell Crowe, and the premise is that it's this sort of small town with a big ice, frozen pond, and the town just plays themselves in hockey. and they're really, really great at it. And so they challenge the New York Rangers, and it comes up, and it becomes this big, like, commercial NHL-driven festival type of thing where they did this big game, and the whole time it's, like, neck and neck between these guys, and then the Rangers pull ahead, and Mystery Alaska come up, and they you know, get within one, within 40 seconds left, and everything slows down, and it comes down to, like, that one slap shot.
Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me he misses the shot.
It hits the crossbar.
Oh.
It hits the crossbar, and it bounces up in the air. The clock goes down to zero, and then the goalie catches it, and that's the end. And and the crowd is stunned. The whole town is just heartbroken.
Downer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're all happy, and they learned about themselves or whatever. But still, it was like
that only takes a
2-hour movie, and they lost. I was stunned. I was not expecting that.
What was your runner-up, Eric?
Well, technically, in Rocky, he doesn't win the
fight. That's true.
Yeah.
And I have to say another shout-out for the South Park episode where Stan coaches the Pee Wee Hockey League. You know, did you ever see this episode? It was like a takeoff on all of these underdog movies, and he kind of gets pressed into service to coach these Pee Wee hockey leagues. And, like, they have to win it for their sick friend who's dying, and he only asks that they win their little halftime Pee Wee Invitational. And there's, like, a guy who narrates this, and Stan's just like, "What's going on?" And then they have the halftime, nobody wins, and they think that, you know, because Pee Wee hockey league, they can't really play. So then the Colorado Avalanche come up and say, "No. You guys, you could play the third quarter against the Red Wings." So the little Pee Wee League plays against the Red Wings, and the Red Wings just obliterate these poor kids. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. So. All right, very good. So that is the end of this Friday filibuster. Again, remember, a very firestorm Christmas is coming to you shortly, so stay tuned for that. And if you want to email us, FridayFilibuster@DVDVerdict.com, or check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/FridayFilibuster. Thank you to Eric, Mac, and Mike. And Mac, take us away.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.